Today we're looking at the parable of the sower. A parable was a favorite teaching device of the rabbis back in Jesus' time. And usually it involves some kind of comparison. It can be a story, it can be other things, but it's usually some form of comparison. To what shall we liken the kingdom of God? It is like yeast in bread, you know, that kind of thing. And the emphasis usually comes at the end, the very end. That's where the punch is. Now, as I read this, and you are all familiar with the parable, think about this morning. I think it's talking about four different kinds of soil. And we're probably all of those at one point or another in our lives. But this morning, where are you? What kind of soil are you in this parable? Again, Jesus began to teach by the sea. Such a large crowd gathered around him that he got into a boat on the sea and sat there. Jewish teachers sit. They don't stand. You sit when you teach. And he sat there while the crowd was beside on the sea. While he was on the sea and they were on the land. He began to teach them many things in parables. And in his teaching, he said to them, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell on the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Other seed fell on rocky ground where it did not have much soil, and it sprang up quickly, since it did not have much soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. Other seed fell into good soil and brought forth grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30, 60, and 100-fold." And Jesus said, "Let anyone with ears to hear, let him hear." Amen. And this is an unusual parable because Jesus, the only time I really know, gives an explanation of it. Usually you're to think out what it means, but this is his explanation. The sower sows the word. They are the ones on the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones in rocky ground. When they hear the word, they immediately receive it with joy. But they have no root and endure only for a while. Then when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, they immediately fall away. The others are those sown among the thorns. These are the ones that hear the word, but the cares of the world, think of this, the cares of the world, the lure for wealth, and the desire for other things come in and choke the word, and it yields nothing. And these are the ones sown on the good soil. They hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30, 60, 100-fold. And again, we're probably all of those soils at one point or another in our lives. But where are we today? Which soil would you place yourself in this morning? This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. My wife, Patty, is the gardener in our house. She's the one with the green thumb. I just help out. You know, she says, dig a hole here, and I dig a hole there. But I do help. I do help. It's hard to believe. Just a few months ago, when snow was on the ground, those catalogs came through from Burpee and White Flower Farm and Henry Fields and everything. And now, with the warm weather, and the rain, everything's beginning to pop. There's that fresh green everywhere. And the smell of lilacs is in the air. I love that. And it's time to turn over the soil in the garden and compost it and get it ready. And have any of you put in annuals yet? Soon. It'll be time for the annuals. Jesus had, I think, a feel, again, like a good gardener. He had a feel for the feel of soil between his fingers. He was conducting his ministry in an area in Galilee which was the agricultural center of the land. It still is today. And he told a parable, the one before us this morning, about himself as the sower, as the farmer, sowing the seed of the gospel. And he also included in that how the seed germinates in different kinds of soil. Now, how does your garden grow? How does it grow? Jesus' parable does not have a, sort of a Martha Stewart garden. It's not a House and Garden TV kind of garden. It's a garden with that four kinds of soil: the hard-baked path, the shallow soil, the thorny soil, and the good soil. And the question is this morning, where would we identify ourselves? What kind of soil are we today? But as I say, there's probably been a time in our lives when we've been one of those four soils. We may change back and forth. The first soil is the hard-baked path. A lot of people have walked on it, and it's very hard, and the seed is thrown on it, and the birds of the air come and take it away. And, you know, there are times in our lives when we're just closed to that message of God's love. We're just not ready to hear it for one reason or another. Maybe too many people have walked over us on the way. But the word is spoken, but it's not received. My wife and I were in Maine for a while in a coastal community that had hard clay. And I used to get a rototiller every year and try and break up that hard soil. It was just like rock, and it was really hard work. And I think even in those times when we may be the hard soil, remember, God has his own rototiller ways to break that up. That seed can still take hold. Now, in the parable, it's the birds of the air that come, and they take away the seed. My problem was never the birds, but a woodchuck. I had a woodchuck that was a very happy camper. He was a chubby woodchuck. He liked my garden. And I tried everything to get rid of him. Everything. I tried smoke bombs, whatever you can think of. And I would look out the side of my eye, and I would see him on the stone fence there on the top. I'd turn, and in that flash, he was gone. He was cheeky. So finally, I was reduced to a have-a-heart trap. And a have-a-heart trap is sort of a rectangular trap that doesn't harm the animal. And the first night we put that out, we caught the family cat. The second night, now I should explain, at this point, I'm out of state. I've gone to a meeting out of state, so I'm not present. The second night, what did we catch? A skunk. A skunk. And here's my wife all alone with the kids and a skunk, and they have a heart trap. She called the Rangers. They said, we don't handle that kind of thing. Finally, a neighbor came over, and what he did, he took a blanket and put it over the trap, because the skunk won't spray if it can't see. And then using a broom handle, he opened the door, and in its own good time, the skunk left. What kind of soil? Are you the hard-baked soil this morning? Resisting? Not open to the word? Remember, God has that rototiller, and he can break up that soil. There's a second kind of soil in the parable, and that's the shallow soil. And here the seed comes in. It flourishes immediately because it's got very shallow soil. It blooms, but it doesn't last. It can't get down before the bedrock below it. And it's as soon as the sun gets out and it's hot, it doesn't have the nutrients or the nourishment to last. It withers and is gone, doesn't produce. Faith-wise, I think it's sort of like the little boy who fell out of bed and said, I fell asleep too close to where I got in. And sometimes that can happen in faith, too. You know, people can have very moving, powerful religious experiences, but it never moves on from that. There's no endurance. There's no nourishment. There's no carrying things on. And we've all seen, maybe in ourselves, you know, sometimes we're very active in church, and then all of a sudden we're gone. At one point we're very interested in religion, and then we disappear. There isn't the depth of root. And I like to think of the almost Christian, the shallow soil. And I remember there was a Peanuts cartoon. And in this classic Peanuts cartoon, Linus is the statistics person for the baseball team. And he comes up to Charlie Brown with his statistics. And he says, Charlie Brown, in 12 games, we almost scored a run. In 9 games, the other team almost didn't score a run before the first out. In 3 games, Lucy dropped the ball 3 times. Once, Lucy did things right. Charlie Brown, we lead the league in almost. And there are times when, again, and we've all seen this in ourselves and in others, very active and then gone. So we have the shallow soil. And I think the church is there. One of its reasons for existence is to help us put down roots in the faith, to nourish our experiences of God. That's one of its basic tasks, to give us roots so that we carry on and endure through life. How does your garden grow? Is it the thorny soil? This is where the seed and the thorns and the weeds, the seed is all in the ground together. They all come up. They do fine for a little while, but then they start to have problems. The weeds and the thorns begin to squeeze out and to choke out the life from the good seed, from the good plant. And, you know, Jesus interprets this as saying that, you know, sometimes in our lives, it's the sorrows of the world, the cares of the world that get to us, or the lure of wealth, or the desire for other things come in conflict with our faith. And God gets the short shift. Julie Roller has a little piece called The Confessions of a Soccer Mom. And she describes how in her family, soccer seems to be a major factor. That, you know, when she and her husband are talking together, they're usually talking about the kids and soccer. And she says, you know, they're talking about, should their older son be on a traveling team? Should the younger son be part of the club team? Is it too competitive? Should they be heading the ball or not? Is that safe? And she said when she looked at her family life, an awful lot of time was devoted either to going to soccer or talking about soccer. And she said, but soccer was not a priority for her children in her view. And she said that she would continue to be on the sidelines, you know, on the soccer field while the kids were playing. But she really wanted her kids to have an experience with her in a more varied setting. She wanted them to realize that it wasn't just soccer, but education was important, church was important, and she was spending far more time with the kids on soccer than she was on their education or on their church. And she said, I really wanted the kids to know that education is important and learning about God is too. But sometimes in our lives, things can just take over. In our own garden area, it's the bittersweet that comes in and strangles the bushes. It's the brambles that take over. And I suspect, you know, when we have kids in school, soccer's a big factor. When we were retired, people say, you know, we're more busy now than we were when we were working. And in that busyness, God can get lost. And there is no product, there is no plant produced. Three soils. Any of those we identify with at any point in our life? There's the good soil too. And here again, the emphasis in a parable usually comes at the very end. The good soil receives the seed. And if you can imagine this, this is the comparison. The good soil hears the word, takes it to heart, and produces. And if you can see this, one seed produces 30 ears of corn, 60 ears of corn, 100 ears of corn. The productivity of that seed in the good soil is just tremendous. David Gregory is one of the talking heads on CNN. He used to be on Meet the Press. And he was saying that in his own life, in his early days, his whole emphasis was on his career, his job. Would he get a job on a network? Who did he have to know to do that? What contacts did he have to make? What background did he have to have? Everything was on getting that job. And when he had done all that, he said, then something happened, and a new question came into his life. Why? What's it all about? What's the sense of meaning and purpose of this life? And for him, he said, he came to the conclusion that the answers lay in his own search for God. There are times in our lives when we are open to receive that word of God's love and acceptance and the power and joy that that brings. How does your garden grow? Are you the good seed? The thorny seed, thorny land, the shallow land, the hard baked paths that many people have walked on? Jesus says, let he who has ears, let him hear. Let she who has ears, let him hear. And let's pray. Let's pray that we do hear. Amen.